It is Friday, December 27th. I'm Sam Cedar.
And I'm Lucy Steiner. Which one of these stories will you be talking about today?
Bernie Sanders' polling surge apparently has the Democratic establishment admitting he can win the primary. Meanwhile, Mike Bloomberg's campaign is caught exploiting incarcerated women to make phone calls to California voters. Lastly, Donald Trump retweets an article which named the alleged whistleblower whose complaint ultimately led to his impeachment.
You're listening to Majority.fm's AM Quickie, and these are the stories you need to know.
So Politico has a piece up basically saying that Democratic insiders have not been taking Bernie Sanders seriously throughout this primary season, but have now woken up. It's January. We are less than 6 weeks away from the Iowa primary, and they're starting to realize that Bernie Sanders has had a very consistent place in the polls. His base is not going away, and he now has the highest favorables of anyone running in the primary. The reality is, though, that his polling relative to Joe Biden has not changed. It's just that no one else has moved into second place over the course of this year. And that's got Democratic establishment types freaked out because people are starting to think that he can't compete and there's no one to replace him. We'll see. So apparently money cannot buy you love, but if you are a billionaire running for president, you can pay for prison labor to make campaign calls. Apparently, Mike Bloomberg's 2020 campaign ended up doing just that through a third-party vendor. A New Jersey-based call center company apparently called Procom, which runs call centers in New Jersey and Oklahoma. According to The Intercept, two of the call centers in Oklahoma are operated out of state prisons. Again, I am a little suspicious about all of this insofar it being for the Democratic primary. It's been my theory since day one that Mike Bloomberg is running essentially to buy himself the option of seeing who the Democratic nominee is and perhaps launching a third-party campaign. At the end of that, I'd be very surprised if he actually exercised that option because the chances of him ushering in another term of Donald Trump is pretty high. But I'm convinced that's what he's doing. He has billions of dollars. If it takes him a couple hundred million to put him in a position in late August or early August where he can look in the mirror and say, I'm in a position to actually make a decision about this and I've set myself up, I think it's worth it for him. That's what I'd do if I had his billions. Lastly, on the impeachment front, two stories of note. Donald Trump retweeted an article which named the alleged whistleblower that basically started the ball rolling on impeachment. So that's Donald Trump basically trying to change the subject. Aside from just his own psychosis that drives him to do that, there's a story that came out on Christmas Day that Lisa Murkowski, senator from Alaska, apparently in an interview broadcast earlier this week, said that she had some problems with Mitch McConnell's vow of total coordination with the White House on the impeachment proceedings. That may mean Murkowski is interested in hearing witnesses. And unlike, you know, the Jeff Flakes of the world or the Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski is actually fairly independent, at least in the context of this Republican Party. And if there is a Democratic and a Lisa Murkowski call for witnesses, that becomes bipartisan, and that could overwhelm Mitch McConnell's plans in the Senate. That could turn very, very interesting. Keep an eye on that. And now for some even quicker quickies than we normally do. The U.S. government has set the record for debt auctions. This is to finance the U.S. debt. The interesting thing about this is that tax cuts by Republicans for years, since the Reagan era, have been sold to us with the argument that the lower the tax burden you give on businesses and rich people, the more tax revenues you will get because it will increase business activity and GDP enough so that you'll actually get more taxes. It's basically like a volume argument, I guess. And this was completely disproven just about every time it's been tried. But most clearly in the case of Kansas under Sam Brownback, where he actually brought the guy in who came up with that theory, Arthur Laffer. Laffer, of course, is now an advisor to the Trump administration's economic team. They sold the last tax cuts on this same theory, and the debt auction was an increase of 26% from 2017. So the bottom line is you can tell your crazy uncle or whomever it is in your family that lowering taxes does not increase revenue. Meanwhile, ousted president of Bolivia, Evo Morales, says that he's convinced that the U.S. orchestrated the military coup that removed him from power last month because the U.S. interests wanted to exploit Bolivia's lithium reserves. Lithium, of course, is the key ingredient, as it were, for battery technology. And lastly, the last quickie of the day. What do you do when you want to show support for your campaign, but you're not a billionaire and you're trying to make it look like you have small donor support? Well, if you're Pete Buttigieg, what you do is run a small dollar contest so that you can lower the average of your donation amount. Buttigieg, as you know, is under increasing criticism for being a complete cipher and believing nothing and having support that is just built upon consultant ease. He has launched, or I should say his campaign has launched, a contest as a end of the year guessing game, but it appears to be a gimmick that is looking to lower the mayor's average donation for the final quarter of the year to create the impression that he has a lot of small donor support. Here is the email that was sent out to supporters. All you have to do to win is donate the smallest amount that nobody else donates. In other words, suppose you donate $1. If someone else playing also donated exactly $1, you both lose. We'll see if only one player donated $1.01 and so on until we find the amount donated exactly once, and that's our winner. Folks, the idea that this is actually a contest is ridiculous. Of course, they're trying to get everybody to donate a penny to Pete Buttigieg to lower this average amount. It's pretty sad, but it's pretty Pete Buttigieg-y, I have to say.
Quicker, quickie.
That's it. We'll be back live on the Majority Report next Thursday. We'll have a couple more days of the quickie. Bye-bye.